I'm late again. This is supposed to be September 27th, but it's not. It's September 28th. I missed yesterday because I was gone fishing. And where did I fish? I fished it was up in northern Georgia. I forget the river's name. I think it was the Tallulah River. I should really have that. It's near Clayton, Georgia. And I went fishing with a buddy of mine, a former colleague. We used to work together in the broadcast industry. He's a broadcast attorney. I am not. I was in the broadcast business. Why can't I find out where the stupid location is on my photos? Location, where is it? There it is. Huh. Of course, they're not giving me the location. I don't know. Anyway, it was near Clayton, Georgia, so I was gone most of the morning. Normally, when I do the podcast, it's around, I usually record around 2 p.m. on Mondays. And, oh, by the way, you might hear some notifications from my phone. I can't shut them off because my wife is out there, is out and about in the world, and she'll probably let me know where she's at, so I know she's not lost. So if you hear random dings, it's because I can't turn that off. But anyway, I normally record around 2 p.m. on Mondays, and I couldn't do it yesterday because I was out fishing. So I'm recording this now. It's 10:40 a.m. on September 28th. I think I have a good half an hour to an hour of quiet where I should be able to record, hopefully. So the previous week was kind of boring, not a whole lot of news. I posted a couple of things. By the way, I'm not streaming on YouTube right now, so I just couldn't get it together in time, so I'm not going to do that today. Try to do it next week again. So it was a slow week. I had a couple of stories. But nothing much. Johnson & Johnson, they made a claim of 100% efficacy after receiving two doses of their vaccine. I don't know if that's quite right. I mean, that's quite the claim. And let's see, I gotta move the microphone because it wasn't really right. You know, 100% is quite the claim. Let's see, it was in the Wall Street Journal. That's the only reason why I posted it, you know, with that kind of crazy claim. The story went, data released Tuesday from a late-stage clinical trial showed that study participants in 10 countries, including the U.S., who received a second dose of the company's vaccine 2 months after the first, had 75% protection against symptomatic COVID-19 participants in the U.S., COVID-19, period. Participants in the U.S. had a 94% protection against the illness. J&J didn't explain the reason for the difference in efficacy rates. A double dose of the vaccine provided participants with 100% protection against severe or critical COVID-19 at least 2 weeks after the second shot, J&J said. That's kind of a crazy claim. Anyway, they made it. It was in the news. The company earlier this year said a large clinical trial showed that a single dose of its vaccine was 66% effective at protecting people from moderate to severe COVID. We now have generated evidence that a booster shot further increases protection against COVID-19 and is expected to extend the duration of protection significantly, said Paul Stoffels, Chief Scientific Officer at J&J. The company said that it has shared available data with the Food and Drug Administration. I invest in J&J, so let's hope their miracles are real. You know what? I didn't test if I'm going to get audio from my computer. There it is. Okay. So Microsoft announced some new Surface devices last week, and they had some really nice new products. I just think that they're going for the premium product category with the Surface Pro 8, the new Surface Laptop Studio, and the Surface Duo 2. The Duo 2 especially, it's a really interesting product, and I would buy it in an instant if it wasn't so damn expensive. It's more than an iPhone. I wouldn't buy an iPhone either because it's so expensive. And it's running a version of Android. You know, I would rather the device run Windows, full-fledged Windows, but I guess it's an ARM device. It's got the Snapdragon 888 in it. So I don't know why I can't run Windows on ARM, because I think the Surface X runs Windows on ARM, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, they released some really nice new devices. The Surface Laptop Studio, though, I don't know. It's one of those hybrid devices that I think it's trying to be a little bit too much with the hinge. It opens up like a standard laptop, and then you can pop the screen forward almost like there's a Surface device, like a plain Surface, like a Surface Pro device attached to the keyboard, and you can change the angle of the device by covering the keyboard. And I've got videos, links to their videos, their product videos, on in the show notes, so you can take a look at that. Actually, it's on a blog post, so I have a link to my blog post which has the videos. And especially when it's down, all the way nearly flat, and it's supposed to be, I guess, a creator's mode or whatever. They had three different mode names, which I can't remember why they have to have mode names. But the one that's almost flat, it's for people who draw, or, you know, like a tablet, like on a tablet. It just seemed like it was kind of bouncy when people were using it. It didn't seem like it was this nice, stable, flat, or nearly flat device. Having an angle, slight angle, is better for when you're drawing rather than being totally flat on a desk. So it's sort of like you can have it like a drafting table, but it's not something that you can do at different angles because of the hinge. So the hinge would, it doesn't kind of lock in place. It would make it look like, or make feel like it was kind of spongy and bouncing. The Surface Pro 8, on the other hand, looks like a nice device. And that is one that I might be interested in buying. But I will wait for a little while, because Windows 10 is going to be deprecated, I think, in 2025. And I only have one computer that is capable of upgrading to Windows 11. My desktop units are way too old. Neither one of them holds the proper processor. One is 6 years old, one is 9 years old, and they run Windows 10 fine. I don't know if there's enough of a difference for me to upgrade to Windows 11, but, you know, with software, when you have new operating systems, they start writing software to match the new operating systems, and then you can't move forward with other software if you're running an old version. So, and it's not like I use really sophisticated software anymore, but I don't like to be several generations behind. I don't mind being one or two behind, but so I don't know. I may stay with my Windows 10 operating system installed for another few years. It really depends on the devices that come out. That was really it for that I had for news. So I thought I'd cover one of the companies that, you know, I had a section on my show notes called Company Focus, and it's something I meant to do. I just couldn't put it together weekly. So I thought, you know, on slow news weeks like this last week, or at least slow news for me, other than the market being down, I thought maybe I'd cover one company. And so today the company focuses on Albemarle, and I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing the company name right. I've never heard anybody pronounce it, since I don't watch I don't watch like CNBC or Fox News, Business News or whatever they call that, their news network. There you go. There's one ding. So she made it. Anybody wants to know? So she made it. Didn't get lost. Okay, so let's see. Yeah, I don't watch financial news, really. I read the Wall Street Journal. I read, you know, other news sources. I'll read CNBC, but I don't watch it. And back in the early days when I created my Fidelity IRA, this is only a few years ago. They were on my list. I had a group, a list of stocks to put in my to put in my IRA, and they were a list of dividend stocks that were relatively low risk, at, you know, losing principal, because that was early on. So I was, you know, just learning. Yeah, I'm still learning, but I, you know, really learning then, and I wasn't willing to risk principal. So this company came on my radar. And it was, again, part of a group of 50. And what I did initially when I first opened up that IRA account is I took a chunk of money and I distributed it evenly across 50 stocks. So I can't even remember what the chunk of money was, but whatever it was, if I bought, you know, $2,000 worth of any company, all companies got $2,000 worth. So just spread it evenly. They were, you know, relatively safe companies to invest in. Their financials were very solid, and they had long streaks of no dividend cuts and long streaks of dividend percentage increases. But the, you know, the some of them, the yields were not very high, but they were still, you know, if not better, they were slightly better than what I was getting out of a savings account. And with Albemarle, they are a company that I've lucked out with. You know, their stock price rise was really impressive over the last couple of years. When I originally bought it, it was $59.06 a share. And right now, at least traded last Friday on September 24th, they were $226.40 per share, and it's almost a 300% return. The yield is only 0.68%, so it's really small. And I'm at the point with the stock where I'm making the consideration to take the profit and buy other stocks with that profit, just because the yield is so low, and the stock price is so high. Their PE ratio right now is also 37.15, and it seems like the company might be kind of crazy overvalued at this point. I'm not really comfortable with PEs that high. So, you know, I might just take the profit that I have from that one and put that into some higher yield stocks. It might be a little bit more risky, but at least will pay out better over the years. I think, what did I have here? Their dividend growth also is about 6% over the last 5 years. So the growth is good, but if you're looking for something to produce, you know, a decent amount of income, it's really quite low. So what this company does, and this is a blurb from Fidelity, gives like a company review, I guess, or recap or description, let's say. It's kind of long, but I'll read it anyway. I've got it up on in the show notes with a link to the Fidelity quote. They develop, manufacture, and market engineered specialty chemicals worldwide. They operate through three segments: lithium, bromine, specialties, and catalysts. The lithium segment offers lithium compounds, including lithium carbonate, lithium hydroxide, lithium chloride, and lithium specialties. And reagents such as butyl lithium and lithium aluminum hydride for use in lithium batteries for consumer electronics and electric vehicles, high performance greases, Thermoplastic elastomers for car tires, rubber soles, plastic bottles, catalysts for chemical reactions, organic synthesis processes in the areas of steroid chemistry and vitamins, life sciences, pharmaceutical industry, and other markets. It also provides cesium products for the chemical and pharmaceutical industries, zirconium, barium, titanium products for pyrotechnical applications, technical services for handling and use of reactive lithium products and lithium-containing byproducts recycling services. The bromine specialty segment offers bromine and bromine-based fire safety solutions. It could be bromine. I might be mispronouncing bromine, bromine. So, the catalyst segment provides hydroprocessing, isomerization, and alkylation catalysts. So they're a materials and chemicals company. They're founded in 1887 and headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina. So it's an old company. They're a solid company. They're in some product segments, especially lithium, I think, which, you know, lithium batteries alone, the explosion in lithium batteries, in the need for lithium batteries, everything we have has lithium batteries in there, you know. So they're solid. So I will hold them as a company, but I may, you know, because the dividend is so small that I need to increase the amount of income that I get. And so, but it was a lucky pick, so I profited well from that one. Portfolio update last week: the low yield portfolio was up 22%. For the month, it was down 3.25%. And for the year, it was up, so far, up 13.94%. Since inception, it's up 34.2%. My medium yield portfolio was flat last week, so it's zero. For the month, it's down 3.65%. For the year, it's up 9.32%. And since inception, it's up 5.2%. My high yield portfolio was up 1.45%. For the month, down 0.52%, and for the year, down 8.43%, and since inception, down 8.9%. There were no dividend payouts this past week, so it was a very, very slow week. In dividend news, Artesian Resources Corporation announced its next dividend of 26¾ cents per share, a 2.5 increase over the company's previous payout of 26.1 cents per share. First of Long Island Corporation announced its next dividend of 20 cents per share, a 5.3 increase over their previous payout of only 19 cents per share. Clorox, they announced their dividend of $1.16 per share, and that was in line with the company's previous payout. This is a Podcasting 2.0 compatible podcast, so if you're listening to this on a Podcasting 2.0 compatible app, you'll have access to transcripts, chapters, and chapter images that accompany each episode. Please go to newpodcastapps.com and check them out. Download and support the new independent apps. Go to podcastindex.org and support Podcasting 2.0. They are fighting to keep podcasting open and free for independent voices. This is also a value for value podcast, which means that you can stream Bitcoin to me, pay as you listen. And some of the new independent podcast apps support the value for value model, where you just you open it up, you create a wallet, and then you can stream some cryptocurrency to your favorite podcaster, so not just me. I have a link to a directory that you can go search to see which podcasts are compatible with the value for value model, and you can go listen to them and stream them some Satoshis and do something called boosting, where you can just, you hear something you like in particular, and then you can just hit the boost button and it will boost an extra bunch of Satoshis. You can also do something called a boostagram, which I think is available on Podfriend, Podstation, CurioCaster, and I'm not sure where else, but it's where you can send a payment, and along with that, you can insert a message so your favorite host can get a some comments and some feedback from you, the listener. Chasing the Yield and myself, chasingtheyield.com and myself, I am not a registered investment advisor, broker, or dealer. I may have positions in any financial instrument, product, or company mentioned on the website or on the podcast. For information provided by the website or this podcast is provided for information and entertainment and are not intended as advice or recommendation or offer of solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security or financial instrument. All opinions are based upon sources believed to be accurate and provided in good faith. No warranty, representation, or guarantee expressed or implied is made as to the accuracy of the information contained herein. Please contact an investment professional if you have any questions regarding an investment. You can get a hold of me. I've got a contact section on the bottom of the show notes. You can send me an email at mail@chasingtheyield.com. I've got a donate link there if you feel like sending a few bucks my way. And if you like what you hear, you subscribe and, you know, tell your family and friends to give a listen. That's it for this week. Have a good week. Hopefully the market goes back up because I would like to get my principal back up to where it was a few weeks ago. So have a good week, everybody. Talk to you next Monday. Oh, misfire once again. One of these days I'll get this straight. Here's the music. Goodbye, everybody. Have a good week.